Robert Egger, the founder of DC Kitchen, says that one of the myths about hunger is that hunger is about food. It's not about food, he says, it's about jobs and wages. In a sense, right, this is self-evident. People with enough money to buy food are not food insecure. They don't go hungry. And you can make a broader point about this. Since World War II, since the modern agricultural age, there has not been a famine, a full-blown starvation crisis, not one in a peaceful, democratic state. Famines take place in autocratic or corrupt regimes where the food doesn't get to the people, or in places where war disrupts food production and distribution. Now, you can have hungry people, even starving people, in a peaceful democracy we do here in this country, but an actual famine only happens when responsive society breaks down. So here's what we know, that a lack of food for individuals or families or whole societies, the lack of food is a symptom, a sign of a deeper problem, inequality, injustice, violence. So Eggers, in this way, is right. Hunger isn't about food. But in another way, food is precisely what this is about. Hunger is the symptom, but if you let a symptom grow and fester, it will kill the patient just as much as the disease. You have to treat the symptom as well as the disease. And on a deeper level, our attitudes about food, our social, economic, and spiritual attitudes about food are the issue, are the reason that some grow hungry while others grow ill on food that isn't good for you. We are food imbalanced. Our attitudes about food are not good. And so the hunger of some is not just a symptom of their individual poverty or of social injustice, but also a symptom of our wider culture's screwy ideas about food. What are these screwy ideas about food? Well, one is that the bounty of the earth is only for some. That it's only for some. That this bounty should be distributed based on wealth and income, and if you don't have enough, then you don't get any. That's kind of a crazy idea. In places where people value community more, the food is never thought of as belonging only to one, but is shared with the community so that everyone has enough to eat. You might distribute other goods based on skill or success, but not food. The gifts of the earth are to be shared by all because they belong to none. Here's another screwy idea about food, that health is about how you look and not about how you feel. That health is about how you look. That's a screwy idea. Really skinny people, our culture says, are healthy. I mean, really see their ribs, skinny people. This, of course, is not what our society thought even a few decades ago. If you didn't have some meat on your bones, well, folks thought that was pretty unhealthy, sickly. They called it. Some of you remember. Women's magazines ran ads about how to put on 10 pounds and fill out your swimsuit. Too much weight, obviously, can be a health problem, but the test of health isn't how you look, it's how healthy you are. How's your blood pressure, your cholesterol? Can you move your body the way you want to? Do you have energy and pep through the day? Can you sleep through the night? Here's a different but related screwy idea about food. If it's organic, it's healthy. Organic might be healthier than not organic, but a bag of chips is still a bag of chips, organic or not. Health is about moderation and activity and portion control and not just about how the food is made. Pint of ice cream, still a pint of ice cream. Here's another screwy idea. Food should be really cheap. At first glance, this makes some sense, right? Cheaper food, more folks eat. In the United States, over the last 60 years, food has dropped from 30% of the household budget to just 15% on average. And as a percentage of budget, on average, food is less expensive in the United States than any other country. Food costs less, more people eat, right? That's the theory. But you get what you pay for. Look, I've ordered off the dollar menu. As I was writing this paragraph of the sermon, I was finishing off a Taco Bell bean burrito and a diet soda. I make no pretense about not needing to hear this message as much, if not more, than anyone else. Fast food is cheap and it's quick, but I'm not really sure it's food. We've made all this food cheap through modern industrial agriculture by genetically engineering chickens to grow big breasts so big they can't walk, by cramming so many cows into a muddy padlock that we have to load them up with more antibiotics than you can imagine. And yet every year, the diseases that kill those cows and get into our food grow more and more resistant to those antibiotics. We put corn into everything and chemicals and preservatives to keep that food from spoiling. Someone told me that a strawberry milkshake at a fast food restaurant has 52 ingredients. If you make it at home, it has 3: strawberries, cream, sugar. Why do they need 52? They can't really be good for you. And this is the concern about organic, natural food. It's a yuppie thing, people say. It costs too much. Organic milk and meat is a lot more expensive. But what are the hidden costs of that cheap food? This is true around the world, too. Researching this sermon, I learned that a lot of famine relief organizations are trying to change the way that we help folks in crisis. The usual way is what? Plane loads of American grain. We come in with our trucks of food and pass it out. What folks are realizing is that this actually makes the long-term problem worse, because our free food undercuts any local producers who are still growing things. Instead, they say, we should give cash to the female heads of households. We should give them money, and then they can go to the market and they can buy the food that's still there, and then more farmers will grow things because there's a market for it, and that market will be strong enough for folks to eat. This isn't just about food aid. The people of Guatemala used to have plenty of food. It's a very fertile country. Almost anything will grow. But multinational corporations bought up all the land to grow a single species of bananas. And now the people there have to import their food, and they go hungry. Our industrial, chemical, multinational food production system has undercut the ability of local people to control their own food choices. Cheap food is a curse in the disguise of a blessing. So those are some of the screwy ideas about food, and we could name a lot more of them, I'm sure. When I asked for screwy ideas about food, one colleague of mine, and I have to say he does live in Minnesota, he said that state fair food counted as screwy. So good and so bad. My brother mentioned deep fried butter, which I think falls in that category. Yeah. Look, I'm not saying that you shouldn't enjoy things every once in a while. Everything in moderation, although I'm not sure that deep fried butter counts in any scheme that involves moderation. But something about our food culture is wrong. It won't surprise you that I think the roots of this trouble are spiritual. We see the body, the earth, as a means to an end. We eat so we can live. It's just functional. The earth is there to grow food for us and for us to drill for oil and mine for coal. We continue to have this Cartesian idea that we use our body instead of recognizing the truth: we are our body. Our mind doesn't live in our body. Our body is our mind. We don't live on the earth. We are part of the earth. Our screwy ideas about food reflect a culture that is obsessed with controlling our body, controlling our appetites, as if our own natural desires were sinful and wrong. Indeed, it's exactly that theology of sin as giving into what's natural that is at the root of this and makes us so crazy. Don't eat the apple, Eve. It'll go straight to your thighs. This makes us schizophrenic about food. We feel guilty about eating, and so we eat worse food than we should. We eat too quickly, not well, because we don't want to think about it. If we want to be healthy and happy, guilt is never a helpful feeling. If instead we embraced our natural desires and cultivated them, we like good food. It feels good to eat until we are full, but no more. It is pleasant to eat slowly with friends. Eat well, exercise, not because you hate your body, but because you love it. Follow your joyful passions, not your guilty ones. Celebrate your body and the food you eat. Say grace. Enjoy your food. Don't eat things that don't taste good. Just stop doing that. Remember that there is enough and you don't have to hoard. If you can, spend the extra money and buy local and organic. You help sustain and grow the market for such food and thus bring down the price eventually for others. Eat in season. Support economic policies that produce more jobs and reduce poverty, and support those who feed the hungry. For as much as we must address the structural and spiritual issues at play, let's not lose focus on the actual hungry person who stands before us and needs to eat. About this time every year, we put the harvest triptych up here on the wall, and we made sure we did it in advance of this week: the bounty of the earth, fertility, and also the absence, the luck, which is part of the difference between the two, and that those who experience the bounty of the earth to share of that bounty with those who do not, for it belongs to us all. Sarah Miles, the founder and director of a citywide chain of food pantries in San Francisco, writes that the impulse to share food is basic and ancient. And it's no wonder the old stories that teach that when you give to a stranger, you give to God. She's right about that. Every religion talks about the importance of sharing food as a religious act. It is communion. And it doesn't matter whether the bread is made of rye or wheat or rice or spelt or barley. All those dotted lines do blur when you rub them, for it is one world. The ritual of communion has so much built on top of it, but remember that it is simply the act of sharing food. When we share our food, when we share our bounty, we indicate and affirm that we are one human family, that we love each other even if we've never met, that the body is good and worthy, and the blessings of the earth are not for the few, but are for everyone. Let us share with our whole heart and our whole spirit, so that down the street and across the world all might feast and be merry and be well. Let us sing together. It is in your gray hymnal 121, We'll Build a Land. I invite you to rise in body or spirit.